Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say amen. Amen. You may be seated. What a fitting series this has been so far. Just perfect timing, I believe. Maybe you've been going through a spiritual battle of some sort, and we have been reading about the armor. Last week, you heard Brother Andrew and Brother John sing about the armor of God. And so it's not a coincidence, and we didn't tell them beforehand what we were preaching about. That's done by the work of the Holy Spirit. Knowing that we're in the same spirit, in one accord, in one mind. And so the Lord really wants us to hear this message whenever it's repeated through different people, right? The Lord is really trying to get our attention and say, you really need to put on the armor of God. Amen. And so without the armor, you don't stand a chance against the schemes of the devil. Because the enemy that we face, it's not against flesh and blood, as we read over and over again, but it's against principalities, meaning things that are in the spirit realm that we do not see right now. There are demons and there are angels, and there's a war taking place in the heavenlies. It's a spiritual realm. And so if the war is fought in the spirit realm, then by all means, we need spiritual armor. Amen. And so thankfully, the Lord has provided for us through Ephesians 6. I encourage you to review this passage over and over again and put on the armor of God each and every day before you go to work, before you go to school, before you're dealing with kids, and before you're dealing with anything else, that you put on the armor of God. Amen. It's given to you by God for your protection against the schemes of the devil. And so my wife had mentioned that we, just on a different note, that we, on our building fund, that we have added or we have decreased our amount. So I want to give you guys a visual what that looks like. And so each one of these balls represents $5,000 that we're able to pay towards our debt, our zero debt campaign. So if you can see this, basically we're right about here, about the 40,000 mark. And so $5,000 taken off of our debt, and another $5,000 taken off of our debt. Amen? God is faithful. God is faithful. God always provides. You know, he's always there for us. He provides. And so we've had donors just step up in a big way. And so this is a good visual where we can see God actually working on our behalf. Sometimes we see a battle like this. This could be a financial battle. And you see God working on your behalf. He's fighting for you. He loves you. And he cares about every aspect of your life. Amen. So let's begin our series, or conclude our series, rather, and begin this message. And I'd like to start off with one of our first videos. How many of you guys have seen, like, the Artemis II orbiting the moon? Isn't that incredible? And so I just want to show just a little clip of that and then tie it into my message. So let's go ahead and show that clip.
Taking their first steps outside for their historic test flight.
Four brave explorers ready to ride the most powerful rocket NASA has ever launched.
Reed, Victor, Christina, and Jeremy.
We are going for our families.
We are going for our teammates.
We are going for all humanity.
Engines lit. 4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition. And lift off. The crew of Artemis II, now bound for the moon.
Houston Integrity, great view.
This is a test flight, and so every single system aboard Orion is getting tested by humans for the first time. That is Earth in the center of your screen from the Orion spacecraft, looking back at all of us.
Houston is go for TLI.
With this burn to the moon, we do not leave Earth. We choose it.
The four of us have looked at this moon our entire lives, and the way we are responding to what we are seeing out the window, it's just like we're a bunch of little kids up here. Just, we cannot get enough of this.
That is something we have never seen before.
It's hard to wrap your mind around. Like, I mean that sincerely. It really bends your mind.
As we prepare to go out of radio communication to all of you down there on Earth and around Earth, we love you from the moon.
Incredible, right? And so as I was watching this, because I've always been intrigued by space and space flights and just technology, and I found this to be very intriguing. But as I was preparing for this message, I began to think about prayer. And thinking about these astronauts, but without a rocket, they're just a bunch of smart guys dressed up in a spacesuit, right? Without a rocket, they do not accomplish their mission. They do not aim for things that are beyond their scope without a rocket. But with a rocket, they're able to leave the Earth's atmosphere, right, and leave the gravitational pull of the Earth and into outer space and orbit around the moon. But it's all because of a rocket. Prayer is like that rocket. Prayer is that rocket that launches you out of this world into the spiritual realm. We talked about this fight being a spiritual fight. Prayer is like that vehicle that takes you from the natural realm to the spiritual realm, helping you to fulfill the purposes of God that He has for your life. Amen. And so without prayer as our rocket, we have no way of propulsion beyond the natural. But with prayer, we are launched into the fight, into the supernatural fight that God has called us to, against spiritual darkness, against spiritual wickedness, against things that are unseen, and that vehicle is through prayer. And so that prayer propels us just as that rocket propels these astronauts into outer space. And so I want to read that verse one more time for you in verse 12, where it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." So one of the first things that we see about this is that prayer is tied into spiritual warfare. In other words, you can have the armor, but if you don't have prayer, then you're dressed up for the fight, but you're not propelled into the fight. You're not brought to the fight. Now, why would you want to engage in a fight? Because we're instructed to do so, right? We're instructed by the Bible. This war is a spiritual realm. And let me tell you, if you are a parent in this place, you should be especially concerned about fighting and fighting for your children and fighting for those who are less, who are more vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. There should be something on the inside of you that says, I'm wanting to be in this fight. I'm going to fight for my kids. I'm going to fight for righteousness. I'm going to fight for them, because the enemy is fighting. And he is coming against them, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy our children. And so therefore, as a man or woman of God, and especially as a parent, you should be wanting to engage in this spiritual fight. And we do so with this rocket of fuel called prayer, we are launched into this. And so we the second thing that we want to talk about, how Paul says to the Ephesians that we are to pray at all times. So first of all, this is a spiritual fight, and prayer connects us to that spiritual fight. But the second thing is that prayer should be constant and at all times. So does this mean that you keep talking to the Lord, you know, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, and you just keep running your mouth and you just keep talking? Is that what he's meaning right here? Absolutely not, right? And so to pray at all times, it means that throughout the day you're constantly focusing your thoughts towards God. I explained this to the Amplified group the other night that sometimes it could be in the simple things. Like, yeah, before you work and you do a project, you say, God, I really need your help right here. I really need you to direct my thoughts so that I can do this in an efficient manner, so that I can do this. Lord, this project may be a little bit even above what I'm comfortable with. God, I need you in this moment. You know, and so to constantly direct our minds towards God. Maybe you're just so overwhelmed with thankfulness. You're just so grateful for what God is doing in your life. You're like, God, I just want to thank you. Maybe you're looking up at nature. You're looking up at the stars, and you're looking at the moon and different things. Like, God, I just want to praise you. I just want to say, God, you are wonderful, and there is no one like you. And you offer up that prayer to the Lord. And so it's to be mindful throughout your day, to be constant. And so it's a continual awareness of God, that we're constantly drawing our minds to the things of God. You know, there's so many things in this world that tries to draw our attention away from God, right? We get on social media, we get on, on our phones, we watch TV, whatever it may be. There's so many things that draw us away from God. And God's wanting us each and every, he delights in the prayers of the righteous. We are his children, and he delights in our prayers. He delights in, not just, so if you're only praying like one time a year or twice a year, it's like the Lord is just longing that you would want to spend time with him. That he is wanting and desiring that relationship with you guys. And so praying always, praying as Paul says, if we look at that word, it's of the things in which one is busied. So you might be doing, you know, just ordained tasks, you know, like sweeping or mopping the house, but you could be thinking about the Lord. You're like, oh, wow, I'm going to mop for the glory of God. I'm doing this for God. You might have a boss who's coming on you, and he is just, like, really attacking you, and you just focus your thoughts. God, I'm doing this for you. I'm focusing all of my efforts on you. Lord, this is for you. And you can have moments of peace. You can have moments where you're directing your life towards a life that is praying always to God. And so what we want is consistency, that we continue to go to God. You know, that and what this shows, it shows our dependency upon him. It shows that, God, I can't do this on my own. If I try to do this on my own, I'm going to fail. God, I need you in this moment. And so that, I don't know about you, but like as a dad, it does something to me, right? Like, hey, Dad, I need you to do this. You're like, all right, you know, I get to step on it. I get to show off my dad skills, right? And whatever it may be. Dad, I need you to reach this off of the top shelf. I'm like, great, I can do that, right? I'm tall. The Lord's blessed me with strength, with height. And so I don't know, it just does something to me as a father whenever my children ask for something. And I believe that we're made in the image and likeness of God, and it's probably a delight. Well, the scripture says it's a delight that he delights in the prayers of the righteous. Whenever you call it to him, God, I need you right here in this moment. And not just to wait until things fall apart, because a lot of times we do that as well, right? We wait until things get completely out of control, until things are falling apart, and we're like, oh, God, I need you. Oh, okay, you finally came back. You're finally calling out to me. All right. But what if we were to call out to God whenever things are going great? Whenever the money seems to be fine, you know, whenever the bills are paid, whenever the food's on the table, whenever clothes are on the back, you're like, God, I just thank you. I just want to thank you. And so we direct our thoughts towards the Lord consistently, constantly, each and every day. We bring everything to God, whether it's small, whether it's big. God's concerned about it all. You might think, well, God's not concerned about little old me. God's not concerned about my little bit old prayer. I mean, he's too busy, right? Yeah, I mean, look, all the billions of people that are on the earth, why would God care about me? then you don't know who God is. You don't know, you don't realize that God is omnipresent, that he is omnipotent, and that he is full of power at all times, always, and he is everywhere at all times. And so if you're limiting God and saying, God doesn't care about little old me, then you don't know who God is. God is always everywhere at all times, and he is all powerful. And so he delights to hear in your prayers. Whether you think that's small or whether you think that, God, this is impossible, he wants to hear it all. So we bring it all to God. We bring our big decisions. You're making a big decision. You're facing a big decision. You go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe even those small moments. What about worries or even gratitude? It all becomes a part of your conversation with the Lord. Again, this creates a posture of dependence. We're like, God, I need you in this moment. I need you each and every day. You can even pray quick, short prayers and silent thoughts, whispered thanks. They all become part of your normal routine. I'll read that scripture in Proverbs 15, verse 8, where it says, the sacrifice of the wicked, it's an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright or the righteous is acceptable to him. Amen. It's acceptable. It's pleasing unto him whenever his children begin to pray. My third point is that prayer includes many forms. And we get a great example from this from the man David. We were studying some glimpses of his life in men's Bible study, so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Throw that commercial in there. Wednesday night, 6:30. But David, he was a man who constantly just spoke to the Lord. Whatever was on his mind, and he just would write down these songs and write it unto the Lord, and he would sing some of these things. And for example, whenever he is just in awe of who God was and wanted to express worship to God, in Psalms 103, verse 1, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Whenever he was caught in sin, you know, he didn't try to hide his sin. He didn't try to pass the blame of his sin. He didn't try to belittle his sin, but he confesses his sin. He says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sins. There was a prayer of confession. And so if you're dealing with sin in your life, the Bible says that we can confess our sin to the Lord, and he is faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness, whatever it may be. Maybe it's a big sin. Maybe it's a small sin. The Lord forgives us of all of our unrighteousness whenever we confess that sin before him. He also had prayers of thanksgiving. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1, where it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will account of all your wonderful deeds. He also asked God whenever he was in need, whenever he had requests. We see in Psalms 86, 1, he says, incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. So there's many types of prayers. There are many, as Paul says, there's different forms. And so there's worship, there's confession, there's thanksgiving, there's requests for needs. And there's, you know, if you want to know what the will of God is for your life, start with a prayer of thankfulness. I was approached by a young man this week, and he says, how do I begin to pray? What do I say? I said, start with thankfulness. Begin to thank God for who he is. Begin to thank him for what he has done in your life. And you know, you cannot go wrong if you start a prayer with thankfulness and thanking God for all that he has done. My fourth point is prayer requires vigilance and perseverance. Now, as a runner, a long-distance runner, I kind of know a little something about perseverance and endurance. There are moments where you just feel like giving up, and you just feel like throwing in the towel, but you just press on and press on. But probably a greater example is I have another video that I'd like to show you guys, and it's the British Army, and how, I don't know if you've ever seen these guys, but their job is to protect the king at all costs. And so, but many tourists will come up to them and poke fun and try to get them to laugh, but they cannot break character. They have to keep a straight face the entire time. So we're going to watch this video.
What happens when you mess with a royal guard.
Get back from the Queen's Guard!
Many think the King's Guard simply stand around all day, never smiling or moving, even when tourists mess with them.
Get off
self-defense!
But they're really some of the most elite and secretive soldiers in the world. And if you push them too far, you'll regret it. King's bodyguards. The Royal Guard have one job: protect the king by any means necessary. The royal family don't have the power they once did, but they're still powerful. They're also worth a staggering $28 billion, making them big targets, which is why they need seriously elite soldiers like the Royal Guard around at all times. What it takes to become a Royal Guard. It's borderline impossible to become a Royal Guard. Royal Guards must be no shorter than 5'10". So short kings can't protect the king. This was a change made only recently, as before you had to be at least 6'2". Royal Guardsmen must belong to one of the 7 most exclusive regiments of the British Armed Forces, which are recommendation only, meaning you can't volunteer to join the Royal Guard. Instead, you need to be hand-picked by someone high up in the British Army, ensuring every one of the King's Guards are stone-cold killers. No smiling. If the guards smile, they can get arrested, no matter what's going on around them, leading to a lot of annoying tourists taking photos and videos. No matter what people do or say, the guards can't respond in any way. That is, unless they're physically touched, in which case they will yell as loud as possible.
Get back from the Queen's Guard!
Perseverance. You're talking about, like, all these tourists just kind of making them laugh and just, like... I would probably bust out laughing. I could not be a king's guard, but just the perseverance that they have, because they realize that something bigger is at stake. They realize if for one moment that they let down their guard, that they expose the king to attack. And so they have to be vigilant, even amid like this ridiculous amount of poking fun at it and trying to get them to laugh. They must remain vigilant at all times. We must remain vigilant in prayer, amen, because we too have an army, an enemy against our soul who pokes at us, who launches javelins, fiery darts at us as we read through the scriptures, and he's wanting to take you out and he's wanting to take your family out. We must remain vigilant as God's people, amen, so because we know, just like the king's bodyguard, that something greater is at stake. If we're not vigilant, then guess what? We leave our kids exposed, to this world, and this world will eat them up. This world will crush them. And so, especially as parents, we remain vigilant in prayer. We must be, just mindful. What is going on? What is God doing in our lives? What is God doing in their lives? And just being vigilant each and every day that we're going to have this dedication towards prayer. So keeping an alert. What does this mean to keep alert? How many of you guys ever, you had good intentions? Like, oh, I'm going to stay awake. I'm going to pray. I'm going to set this time aside, and I'm going to pray to the Lord. Then all of a sudden, your mind begins to wonder, I got laundry to do. I got this to do at my job. Let's see. Oh, this would be really good right now to eat dessert. And your mind begins to wonder, right? Or is it just me? Y'all too? Okay. All right, so sometimes your mind begins to wander, and so you have to, like, even persevere and be vigilant even in that prayer time. Like, okay, I'm staying focused on the mission, right? And so I'm not going to be distracted by the schemes of the enemy. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to be vigilant. And so we're going to be aware of temptation and distraction and spiritual attacks. We're going to stay mentally and spiritually engaged in our relationship with the Lord. You should know, if I come to you and I ask you, how's your relationship with the Lord? You should know an answer to that. You should have an answer to that, right? You should be, me and the Lord are really good. Or who's the Lord? you should know whenever I come to you. And so there is a staying mentally engaged in your relationship with the Lord. And then he goes on to say, with all perseverance. And so this is continuing to pray even whenever you don't feel anything. Even whenever the answer hasn't come, you're still believing, you're still trusting that God is able. You haven't seen the answers, but you're going to persevere through that. Difficult seasons, easy seasons, whatever it may be, we're going to persevere through all those seasons. We're going to continue to pray. So sometimes answers don't come quickly. We have the Burger King mindset where we want things our way and we want it right away, right? And sometimes God says, not right now. Or maybe he'll say, no. Maybe he'll say, yes. But ultimately, it's his way, and it's not our way. It's his will to be done, not our will to be done. We continue to pray even whenever the answers do not come quickly. When life is busy, when it's stressful, when it's full of distractions, we remain with perseverance. So what this looks like in your real life, when your mind begins to wander during prayer, that you begin to direct your thoughts back to God. You begin to think back on God's goodness. You pray through the silence. Whenever you don't hear an answer, it seems like God is silent. There was a rap song, a Christian rap song. He's like, God, do you see us out here? Do you see us down here? He sees you. He hears you. He heard the prayer. And in fact, whenever Daniel begins to pray, he didn't see the effects of that prayer for some time because there was something going on in the heavenlies that needed to shift, that needed to take place before Daniel's prayer would be answered. And you don't know what is being done on your behalf, what God is doing in the spirit realm on your behalf. You don't see those things because it is a spiritual war, but you must know and trust that God is on your side and that God is working all things together for the good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You must trust that and you must believe that. And he's working on your behalf. He loves you with an unconditional love. He heard your prayer. You might not have seen the answers, but I want you to keep praying. I want you to keep believing. I want you to keep trusting. It's the perseverance of the saints. And then another thing what he calls us to at the conclusion of this is that prayer, it is good to pray for ourselves and our own needs because we need prayer. But then he, at the end of it all, at the end of this chapter, it seems like he directs our prayers towards others. Right? And so after we've prayed for ourselves, and our fifth point is this, prayer is for the entire church. Make supplication for all the saints. We're not talking just the New Orleans saints. They can use some prayers as well. But we're talking about the saints of the living God. Make prayers for all the saints. I mean, there are saints in India. There are saints in Africa. There are saints in Honduras. There are saints of the living God throughout this world. Pray for all the saints. When's the last time you pray for your brothers and sisters who don't necessarily have the same freedoms that we have? You pray for the persecuted church. You know, we are blessed in America where we can come, we can assemble. We have freedom of speech. We have the freedom to come together and talk about Jesus. There are many hundreds of thousands of believers who do not have that same privilege. When's the last time you just prayed for them? So we pray for all the church. We make supplication for all the saints. Notice that word, all. And let's just not limit that prayer to saints abroad, because that's an easy prayer. You might not know someone particularly. But what about saints in this house? Your brothers, your sisters, someone who you can actually see. When was the last time you just took a moment and you prayed for them? You know that they're going through something. You know that they're going through a difficult situation. But you've taken the moment, you've taken the time to pray for all the saints, those who are near and those who are far. So who are the saints? All believers. Amen? Believers who are set apart for God's good purpose. We're set apart. We're not like this world. And so because we're not like this world, there's a spiritual attack against all believers. You know, I spend time praying for other pastors. I spend time praying for other churches' leadership because I know that they're struggling just as we're struggling. And I know that they're in this battle just as we are in this battle. And so, I will pray for other believers. I will pray for other pastors who have the same mission is to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, to make him famous. Amen. In my eyes and in God's eyes, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So we're to pray for one another, pray for all the saints, not just the people who you like, not just the people who look like you, who talk like you, smell like you, and dress like you, not just the people in your church, but people in other churches, people abroad, people near. And so what does this look like in your life personally and practically? Maybe you pray for spiritual strength. You're asking God to help them to stand. You know that they're, you know, the fiery darts have been coming, and it's been hard for them to stand, that you would pray for them. You pray for their protection. If you're not, if you're a parent, you should be praying for your kids' protection each and every day. Every single day, you should be covering them with the blood of Jesus and placing them before the throne of God. Say, God, I'm praying that you would protect my children, that you would keep them safe from this world and from all the flaming darts of the evil one. Amen. You pray for protection. You pray for their needs. Meeting this a friend of mine, we work out together at the gym, and oftentimes he would have a need, and we stop what we're doing, and I'll pray for him. Sometimes I will have a need, we'll stop what we're doing in the middle of the gym, and he'll pray for me. It's just so encouraging to have that in your life. And so if you don't have that friend that you can go to, that you can pray with, you know, for your needs, let me encourage you to get that friend, you know, to have that friend. Hopefully it's your spouse, you know, that you have that relationship where you can pray together as a married couple. You know, there's power and there's strength when Tara and I come together and we begin to pray for each other. And that we should do this, be reminded to do this and do this often. Sometimes we forget, right? We go to bed and we're like, oh man, forgot to pray, right? Make it a point in your life, especially if you are a married couple too, that you begin spend time praying for each other. We need prayer. Pray for boldness, pray for mission, you know, that we would be mission-minded, that we would be focused. There are so many distractions in this life. And so why does it matter so much that we pray for all the saints as the Apostle Paul instructs us to do so? There is a power that is released, right? The church becomes stronger whenever we are more unified, when we are praying for one another, when we are helping each other make it to the end. The church is stronger, the church of the living God. And we set the example for the rest of this world. We are to display the glory of God in the earth. Amen? And we do so whenever they will see the love that we have for one another. Jesus says, you will know them. You will know, they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Amen? So, a few questions of reflection as we bring this to conclusion. First, let's start with our 5 points. Prayer is connected to spiritual warfare. It's part of the armor. God has given you this propulsion, if you will, this vessel to take you into the spiritual realm, to leave the natural realm, and connect you to spiritual warfare. Prayer should be constant, always thinking about and praying to God and developing your prayer life. Prayer includes many forms. We can worship. We can confess our sins. We can have prayers of thankfulness. Prayer requires vigilance. We've got to remain vigilant. We've got to have perseverance in our prayers. We've got to fight for attention. You know, we've got to fight for focus. Focus our attention on the Lord and not let the enemy win through distraction. And finally, we pray for the entire church, those who are near, those who are abroad. So, questions to ask yourself. Do I approach prayer with focus and intentionality, or do I tend to drift into distraction of routine? Something to think about. Do you, whenever you're in your prayer life, when it's just you and the Lord, do you tend more to be distracted by everything that's going on? And how can you fight for focus? Where have I been tempted to give up in prayer? You prayed. You prayed for 1 year. You prayed for 5 years. You even prayed for 10 years, and you still haven't seen the answer that you've been looking for. Will you remain? Will you be consistent? Will you persevere? Will you keep believing that God, that God's word is yes and it's amen, that he wants the best for you? Are you going to keep believing in God's word whenever you're on the edge? You're possibly on the edge of receiving your miracle, and then you give up? Or do you persevere? You say, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know that I don't see what I've been believing for, but I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to keep on seeking because that's what Jesus told me to do. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on asking. Thirdly, who are you praying for besides yourself? Who's that one person that you continually lift up to the Lord for, and that you're believing God to do something radical in their life. Don't give up on that person. Look, you are here today because someone prayed for you. You came to Christ because someone prayed for you. I had a praying mom who prayed for me each and every day, and that's the reason why I'm here. That's the reason I'm alive, because of her prayers. So don't stop, as Journey would say, don't stop believing, right? Don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep asking. At this moment, I'd just like to, we're going to do something different. We're going to close out a little bit differently today. I want you to find that someone, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, whether it's a friend, and I want you to, we're going to apply this message that we learned today. We're going to be the body of Christ, and so we're going to have a moment of praying, and you're going to pray for one another. I'm not going to pray for you. I pray for you all the time. But y'all are going to pray for each other, all right? And so I want you to find that one person, and I want you to ask, what is it that you would like me to pray for? Amen. And then I want you guys to pray. And I want you to pray and believe that God hears your prayer. You're not just praying to the abyss. You're praying to a God who hears. Amen. So if you have to get up, then get up. But let's have a moment of prayer as my wife continues to play on her piano.
So just turn to your neighbor, ask them, how can I pray for you? If you're by yourself, find someone else. See Miss Francine right there. If you need to get up across the room. There's going to be a couple of minutes, so just talk to that person. Sit down and say, how can I pray? Do more praying than talking. Do more praying than talking. Just like, Lord, this is how I can talk. Okay, everybody's got somebody. We got some more people. All right, keep on asking. We're just going to continue in prayer.